Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today, we will continue in our new series of studies, which we have entitled The Christian Walk. On our last broadcast, we noticed that we walk in a whole new sphere. The Christian walk begins with a new birth. It's the walk in the newness of life, as outlined in Romans 6 and 4, which involves a new birth. But we enter a whole new sphere. Now, the Scripture has so much to say about our walk. And on our last broadcast, we noticed the three realms of the Christian's activity: worship, work, and walk. And the walk is our daily lives. And they seem so unromantic sometimes. Our daily lives become humdrum, ho-hum, so to speak. And it need not be that way. The Christian life, when we spend most of our time just living the normal Christian life, it can be exciting, it can be God-honoring, and it can be very, very self-satisfying if it's lived in the strength of the Lord. Today we wish to talk about the walk in faith, a whole new principle. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Someone says, "Well, I walk by sight." Yes, but there is spiritual sight as well as physical sight. We walk by faith, not by sight, a whole new principle. We cannot reason things out in the things of God like we do by going to a business school. The two don't mix. Now, you can coordinate them, true enough. But this Christian experience of ours, our walk, needs to be studied from the standpoint of the principles that we should follow. Now, this verse in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight," is in that wonderful chapter, the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, in which we read in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So we need a new approach to what we call language of the Lord, Christian guidance. Now, it's a whole new principle. Walking by sight helps us coordinate our efforts with circumstances, and that is entirely correct. This is natural, and this is good common sense. For instance, we read in Proverbs 27 and 12, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Now, that's being guided by circumstances. You see the evil coming, and you hide yourself. Take a little child, for instance. He sees a great big dog running at him, a strange dog. He runs to safety, to parents or someone who can protect him. That's being governed by circumstances, and it's totally correct. But we must go beyond this sphere in the Christian experience. The Christian is guided by the will of God as well as by external circumstances. God wants to guide us. We read in so many places in the Scripture, we'll just read a few of them. Psalm 25, for instance, in verse 4 reads, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." The psalmist there wants to know the path of the Lord. He wants to do the will of the Lord. Verse 9 in that same chapter, "The meek will he guide in judgment." The Lord will guide. "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." And then in verse 10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." God wants to guide us. And we read in Psalm 32 and 8, "I will instruct thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes." In the book of Isaiah, the child of God is encouraged to look well to his ways and to follow the leading and the guidance of the Lord. Now, these are scriptures that we must take into account when we live the Christian life. I'd like to add another verse to those in Psalms that I've read, verses 5 and 6 of the third chapter of Proverbs. I'll read it. trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You and I cannot be led by circumstances alone. Sometimes we don't correctly interpret the circumstances. Circumstances are ordered of God. The two are not mutually opposed. God is the God of circumstances, and indeed, the unredeemed can be guided by circumstances, and quite wisely. We need to coordinate our lives with circumstances. But when we become the Lord's, when we become redeemed, we want to do the will of God. And God is in control of circumstances. He wants us doing his will. Now that we've reached this point in our reasoning, let's talk about the principles that are at work in our lives in the matter of our guidance, in the matter of our leading. Remember the scripture that we're seeking to expound: we walk by faith, not by sight. And this is indeed true. You cannot take all of the rules of psychology, business, and walk by them and accomplish the Christian sphere, or the Christian career. You can't do that. We must be in coordinates and coordinate our lives with the will of God. How do we do it? Well, we do it by the Word of God, for one. Guidance comes from the Scriptures. And, for instance, in Psalm 119 and verse 105, we read, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God is a light to our feet and a light to our paths. We need the guidance of the Word of God. How do you get it from the Word of God? Well, I would suggest that if you're in a quandary about some path that you must take, if you are praying before the Lord, "Lord, let me see what you feel about this." I will say this, and it's been a matter of experience with me, I will say this, that when I have been in those quandaries, I have come across the Scripture, and I have said, "That's the answer. Here is my answer." Now, how does God arrange that? Well, I think His Spirit arranges it. We're not only guided by the Word of God, we're guided by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, we read there, the Lord Jesus is just leaving his disciples, and he knows he's going away, and he has told them many things in his earthly ministry to them, but he's going to be gone. Now this is what he says in regard to leaving them alone. "I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, the Holy Spirit of God can guide us. Now, don't expect an audible voice. How does he guide us? He guides us by the Word of God, and he can guide by circumstances as well. After all, God is the God of circumstances, and he leads us and guides us. And so the Spirit of God does indeed lead and guide us. We should indeed listen for his voice. And I mean by his voice, not audibly, but from the Scriptures. The Spirit of God can guide us. And then we may be guided by circumstances that are ordered by the Lord. Now you notice the way I said that, I spoke advisedly. Circumstances ordered by the Lord. Now Satan, and you may be surprised to hear me say this, Satan can arrange circumstances for us. He's the god of this world. He can bring things to pass that will influence my judgment. We need to be led by circumstances that are guided by the Lord. We need to test our ways. We need to say, "Now look, this seems so reasonable to me to follow this pathway. Is it God-honoring? Does it contribute to the glory of God? Or is it for my own aggrandizement? Is it for my own satisfaction?" We need to examine our ways and indeed be guided by circumstances ordered by the Lord. Now, for instance, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 14, there's a wonderful verse 4, rather. Romans 2 and 4. There's a wonderful verse. And this is the verse: despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Now we must relate this verse to the text. He's still speaking in chapter 2, Paul as the writer, he's still speaking to the unredeemed. Now this is something that they may realize, and God may does have access to their mind. Listen to what this verse really says. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God is great. God is good. And many, many times I think the unredeemed have to say, for instance, if they're in an airplane accident and they are spared, and they might indeed say, well, somebody was watching after me. And the goodness of God leads them to further put their trust in that one that spared them. We are spared from untoward circumstances, even in our unredeemed days. The first chapter of Hebrews will tell us that God indeed reaches us in our unredeemed days, reaches us with his goodness. And certainly this is not to be discounted, even by the unredeemed. Our parents can guide us. We read in Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 22. The words there, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them upon thine neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Now the context here would clearly indicate that our parents are children of God. Follow their leading. Follow their guidance. They can see farther. They've been down the road longer than we have. Listen to our parents in the Lord. And then godly pastors can lead us. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being samples to the flocks. And then by our brothers and sisters in Christ, their kindly criticisms. Oh, constructive criticism is so good. We need to be work out this principle in our lives. We walk not by faith, or not by sight. We walk not by sight. We walk by faith. I should say it this way, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's putting it in its proper order. May God help us to be alert to the leading and guidance of the Lord. We pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you work out these principles in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.